Spiritual warfare, human trafficking, voodoo, these are among the topics that are covered in a new novel, or relatively new novel, by Craig Parshall, who's a best-selling author of 12 different suspense novels to his credit. Craig Parshall is an attorney in Washington, D.C. In fact, he serves as the special counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice. And the book we're going to talk about today is a Trevor Black novel. It's called The Empowered. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And, Craig, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's always exciting to talk to you, Jerry.
And we hear you from time to time on Janet Parshall's program. Is there a link there between them? I'm just... little leading question there.
Yeah, you know, we share more than just the last name. Okay. We have a marriage contract that goes back farther than I can count sometimes. But, yeah, it's a pleasure. And we've made, at Janet's request, the two of us have made Fridays kind of a time that we do her radio show together for the 2 hours. There's, as you know, there's no want of things to talk about, not only nationally but internationally.
You know, it's a shame, but in a very real way, that stinks, because a lot of the things, unfortunately, that are, you know, in the forefront are terrible things, and some of them are covered in your book. Let's talk about human trafficking. Is this a real problem?
Yeah, it's one of those things that's hiding in plain sight, Jerry. It happens at bus stops and truck stops, parks, outside of public schools, on playgrounds. You know, this is now becoming a national scourge, and it really is an international problem, not just a national one. I was glad to see, by the way, the president sign into law a restriction of parts of the internet that are used to facilitate human trafficking. Believe it or not, there are websites devoted to it, and they have been free. They've been immune from legal process because of a little exception built into the law many years ago when people were worrying about indecency on the internet. And the Supreme Court struck down those restrictions on the internet except for one, and that was leaving sort of an immunity for operators of websites in terms of people who post on there saying, you know, women and children for sale. Believe it or not, that has avoided criminal prosecution because of that little exception, that loophole. That loophole has now been closed, I'm glad to say, but we still have this problem, and it really is a very troubling problem. Just a couple months ago, as a matter of fact, just before The Empowered, my most recent novel, came out, the FBI released the results of a nationwide sting on human trafficking proprietors. And just to show you the scope of this is just one FBI sting among many. They corralled some 120 child predators, suspected child predators who were involved in this ring, using children, abducting, kidnapping them, using them in human trafficking. The imagination just is staggering in terms of the future of those children had they not been rescued. And they were rescued, some 80 children caught in this nationwide human trafficking ring. And we're just talking about children and not even adults. That's an additional problem. The estimates that my research showed when I was doing this book is that at any one time there are about 100,000 American children per year who are swept in to human trafficking enterprises. And what I found was that it's not just an isolated criminal activity for people saying, well, gee, how can I make some money? I know I'll trade in human slavery, you know. And most of the women caught into this, whether they're children, girls, or whether they're adult women, the vast majority are coerced or threatened into they're being used for purposes of prostitution and sexual slavery. So this is a huge problem, and one of the reasons I wanted to write this plot line into the second book of the Trevor Black series, The Empowered, is that underneath this criminal enterprise, I really find evidence of abject evil. Yeah. I found a link in my research between the practice of voodoo, believe it or not, and human trafficking. Now, at first blush, you know, none of us are fans of voodoo once they study what's involved. But there is an absolute link between the practices of some of the more violent forms of voodoo and human trafficking. As a matter of fact, just recently, there was an arrest in England, involving a nurse practitioner who was deeply involved in voodoo and used that practice to coerce and threaten women that she was then enslaving and human trafficking for purposes of commercial gain. So there is that link, but then there's a third link that I talked about, kind of a triple threat, and that is the use of the so-called dark web on the Internet, that all kinds of criminal activities go on in the dark web portion, which is kind of the criminal underbelly of the Internet, not just human trafficking, but that's one of the more frequent uses of the dark web, but also illegal weapon sales, drug sales, you know, murder for hire. Anything you can imagine
hacking.
In terms of the worst kind of the criminal element,
yeah.
They find solace and opportunity on the dark web. So I really found that all three of these threats have joined up, not just cultic activity like voodoo and human trafficking as a criminal enterprise that threatens children and adults as well, but also the use of the dark web to facilitate these criminal enterprises and that triumvirate of evil. So I wanted to address those three facts in this novel, that it's not fantasy. Unfortunately, it's a real troubling fact.
Yeah, okay, wow, this is fascinating. And by the way, identity theft is clearly one of those areas where the dark web is involved in that, you know, where somebody goes to a gas station, they innocently use their credit card, next thing you know it, a credit card is made in their name, you know, with their information and so forth, and it's used in another part of the country, and that was something done through the dark web.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's a flourishing business there.
Yeah. Okay, so let's tell as much as about the novel that you can without giving away, you know, any kind of spoiler alert. And let me just say this. First of all, it's a fascinating read, and it involves most of the action takes place in New Orleans, which is close to my heart because I became a Christian in New Orleans as a student at Tulane University. And it's a really fascinating book, but what do you want to say about the plot, you know, without giving any kind of spoiler alert?
Well, the Trevor Black series is really a series about one man's battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. He was Trevor Black was a kind of a skeptic and didn't believe in anything except money and winning lawsuits as a criminal defense lawyer up in New York City. Some startling things happened to him in the first book called The Occupied. That's kind of the backstory behind this guy.
Oh, I got to read that then.
Yeah, when he comes to faith up in New York under very unusual circumstances, he realizes that there is this dark, invisible empire. In fact, he finds out two things. Number one, there's a dark, invisible empire of evil. And number two, he finds out that there is also a kingdom of light and righteousness, and where God rules, and that the planet Earth and everyone who inhabits Earth, you and I and everyone listening to this broadcast, we hang in the balance. We have a choice to make between light and darkness, and we need to first realize that there are those kingdoms, and we need to decide what side we're going to be on. He was put in a difficult position, decided which side he was going to be on, and suddenly, at the time of his faith encounter, he gets a rather unusual and powerful gift of being able to not just understand the nature of spiritual warfare, but actually see into the demonic realms, to basically see the same thing the Lord Jesus saw when he did battle in the Gospels. And so he then is faced in the Occupied with, what do I do with this? Do I run? And that's one of the things he ends up doing, is saying, I want no part of this. This is a little bit bigger than I anticipated. This is above my pay grade. In The Empowered, he's settled on the fact that, yes, this is going to be my mission in life, to uncover the darkness that's out there and to rescue those who are being oppressed, that hence the human trafficking issue. And in The Empowered, he finds out that there is this human trafficking scourge, and that he finds out that much of it in this book is using a portal through Louisiana down in New Orleans, and he has a hard time convincing people that it's going on. Really, the book is his battle, not just to rescue the lives of these children who are imperiled by human trafficking and the dark web and this voodoo practice that feeds into it, But also, he wants to rescue those who are spiritually bound, those who have their eyes closed because they are immersed in the occult. And those are the kind of the touch points of this book. And you'll have to read it, of course, to find out whether this rescue takes place or not.
Sure, and it's a real page-turner. Kept me up at night, in fact. So now let me ask you this. In your research on human trafficking, especially here in the United States, we could just focus on that, and the book deals with that, how would you define or describe most of those people who are trafficked, let's say for sexual purposes or whatever? Would these be runaway children? Would these be, somebody just snatched up from the streets? What would be a general
question.
Profile?
No. Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, about 10 years ago, there was a study done on how many of young girls who were trapped into human trafficking were lured into it on the Internet. And it was a rather small percentage. It was about 14% or so. That percentage has exponentially exploded, as you can well imagine, with social media. As a matter of fact, I had the privilege of working with Jay Sekulow and the good folks that we work with at American Center for Law and Justice in a case before the Georgia Supreme Court on this issue of enticement of young girls through the use of the Internet. One suspected predator who was caught using the Internet and the anonymity that comes with it to allure a girl in who was a young preteen. And when he was caught and arrested, his defense was, believe it or not, Jerry, now you could probably believe it because things are getting stranger every day, but the defense was First Amendment. That is, I have a First Amendment right to try to speak in very perverse sexual terms to a minor with whom I have no relationship other than the fact that I'm trying to lure her into a relationship. I'm happy to say that Georgia Supreme Court upheld the law that outlawed that in Georgia,
good,
the use of the Internet to entice minors. And so the case is going to continue. But in that case, the girl was rescued from what could have been a disastrous encounter. But the percentage that are being lured in through social media now has been increasing exponentially. So parents really have to be aware of all the social media portals that your child is engaged in. And Microsoft and Google and all of these big tech companies have done us a service by providing parental control systems that can be put in place so that we can avoid having our children have unlimited use that might get them in danger, and I would suggest parents check into that. That's one portal that's been used to increase the number of abductions for children. Runaway kids, there's a high percentage of those who run away and find themselves on the street and become easy prey for those involved in human trafficking. And what used to be the adult human trafficking problem has now migrated down to the use of very young children, believe it or not, in this practice, some of it involving child pornography that's put all over the dark web and sold and so forth. So the age is decreasing down to young children, and the use of the Internet is increasing. So I would suggest that parents, not have a spirit of fear, but really be knowledgeable about the associations that their children have and the use of the Internet in particular.
Oh, excellent. All right, we have 20 seconds left. I want to go ahead and give your website, craigpartialauthor.com. So give us a closing thought on The Empowered in 20 seconds.
Well, there's an optimistic part of this story, and readers will find out, but I go back to what the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 3. He reminded us that when Jesus came, Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. And certainly human trafficking, particularly of children, is nothing but the work of a satanic kingdom. But greater is he that is in those of us who walk with Christ than he that prowls the world looking for victims. So there is a good news story here in terms of our acting like the church to help rescue those and inform parents so that there won't be a need for their children to be rescued.
All right, Craig, thank you so much for joining us. God bless you and all the best.